Going through so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way. Heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. So if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head.
When every mountain seems too high. lost at sea. Jesus rescues me.
My faith
is strong. He carries me.
Though sometimes weak,
I still believe. My life is built on His desire, through the flood and through the fire. Jesus rescues me. My life is built on His desire, through the flood and through the fire. Jesus rescues me.
Praise God. You know, that song is so appropriate for every situation that we face in life. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, Jesus is there and He will rescue us as long as we let Him be our Lord and our Savior. And we just want to give God all the honor this morning. So I just want to welcome you to First Pentecostal. We just love you. We just thank you. All of you watching online, just welcome this morning. Let's all stand if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Praise God. There are a lot of special prayer requests this morning. Those that are, if anyone's not on the text blast or hasn't heard, Brother Eddie's mom, Sister Kate, gone home to be with the Lord this morning. And we know that the wonderful reunion and celebration going on up there in heaven right now. And we just want to lift that family up in prayer. For those that are traveling, all the preparations that's being made and every situation that's going forward. But we just want to continue to pray for Brother Eddie and his family and Sister Kate and all those, so many times people of us that she's touched in her life and through this church, and just want to continue to lift them up in prayer. And also there are a lot of other prayer requests. There are those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that are struggling right now. We just want to continue to remember that Jesus is and that God is the great I am of everything that we face. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by raising it. We just love and praise the Lord. My Lord, gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love and praise you this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, we just thank you for each and every day you've given us, dear Lord, for each and every one that's here present and those watching online. Dear Lord, we thank you for life, dear Lord. We thank you for our loved ones. We thank you for your comfort, dear Lord, for always being there in the times of need. Lord, we just love you. And dear Lord, we can't go through a moment without just praising you. And, dear Lord, thanking you, dear Lord, for each and every one that we have and each and everything that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for that promise and the truth that you've shed that precious blood for us, dear Lord. And now, Lord, you've beat death and you've left the grave, dear Lord, that you're at the right hand of the throne of God, dear Lord, just to taking care and interceding for each and every one of us. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for this day. Dear Lord, for every prayer request going up, dear Lord, with faith and with hope, we're placing them into your mighty hands. And dear Lord, we're giving them to you. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 333. This is a song that I always referred back to. It's I'll Fly Away. And I know y'all know the words this morning. Just sing, and this is worship the Lord this morning.
Some glad morning when this life is over. I'll fly away.
continental soil.
Seated if you can this morning. We want to continue to lift the Lord up and just praise His holy name. Give Him all the glory and all the honor. Praise the Lord. We're going to get ready and take up our morning offering. I don't have any announcements up here this morning. Nothing? Okay. Okay, great. Thank you for letting me know. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering? Yes, Lord.
forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
Thank you.
else to turn to? Who do I talk to? When no one wants to listen, who do I lead on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock I know the stable. I go to the rock.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Where do I go? When there's no one else to turn to, who do I talk to? When no one wants to listen, who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock I know the stable. I go to the rock.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
I go to the rock. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Just call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Just call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
If you need salvation,
tell him what you want. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
You just
call him up, tell him what you want.
You just
call him up, tell him what you want. Just call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Just
call him up, tell him what you want. Just call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want.
Jesus on the main line now.
If you want healing, tell him what you want. If you want healing, just tell him what you want. If you want healing, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
You just
call him up. Call him up, tell him what you want.
You just
call him up, tell him what you want. Just call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Jesus on the main line,
tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name.
Ten lepers stepped out, cried, "Have pity on us." He gave sight to Bartimaeus, there in the dust. A woman came to the well with a bucket, you know, but she left with a river in her soul. When heartache and pain are all around you, troubled waters of life, well, they almost drown you.
Man,
when Sometimes I feel like I'm just walking around with my head up in the clouds. I'm steady moving, but I'm not gaining ground. Heading the wrong way in the crowd. Then I remember I'm not part of this world. I'm moving higher each day. Upward mobility. Get away. I've got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Problems of life, don't you let them get you down. Just look to Jesus, you will not be denied. He'll move you up to higher ground. Don't you forget that you're a child of the King, that you're an heir to His throne. You may not know just when He's coming back again. He'll take us happy home. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary
to you.
Yes, hallelujah.
We can see that He has. I praise Him for His blessings, for all He's done. You know, this morning part of our hearts are a little sad with the passing of Mama. Got a feeling the good Lord said, don't worry about it because my spirit's still flowing. My spirit's still moving, so don't let there be a sadness because she's happy where she's at. Finally found what she's been longing for. Finally found the peace that she's been needing. So I praise God for that. Before we get into the word this morning, I've been very blessed to be able to have a baby dedication. I'd read for you a scripture first. And I'll get the parents, child to come forward. It says, and Hannah bare a son, called his name Samuel. And she brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli, and she said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, did let none of his words fall to the ground. Wesley. Get older, you start realizing how important these things are, children, to the Lord. Really start getting older. When Sierra, we taught in kids' church. My friends, this is a happy and significant occasion. It brings us together. Like Mary and Hannah of old, brought your child, sent her to the Lord. You've heard the invitation of the Master, suffer the little children, come unto me, and forbid them not, such kingdom of heaven. The purpose of this service is to help you, parents, to appreciate your obligation, train your child in the nurture, admonition of the Lord. When she shall come to age of responsibility, she'll most naturally turn from the wrong to the right. Accept Jesus Christ as her Savior and Master. God has a purpose for her life. Find that purpose and live it out for her. I ask y'all. Now present your child before God in solemn dedication. You consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You promise to instruct him, her, in the teaching of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer, to guide her in the development of Christ's life. You promise to try the best of your ability so to shape your home life and your child, both by family devotion, by your words and your example, who at the proper age must naturally come to an open confession of Christ, fellowship, service. And as much of you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God, yourselves to the task of rearing her for God, I charge that you address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation, wisdom, patience, devotion. To the end, may the blessings of God rest upon you. Now, you should remember Brother Eddie would always say this is his favorite part, and now I can see why. Well, as you've heard, Brother Eddie had a very long and difficult night last night. Pray for strength, peace, and comfort for him. Said, I could probably do it. And I was like, well, that's what we're here for, brother. We're here to help you in these times. So I know, I was shadowed out, I don't compare to Brother Eddie, so y'all was coming expecting him. So this is just what you get today. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate any time we can come and talk about the Word of the Lord. If you would, we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 16. Read a few verses, and we're going to skip around just a little bit today. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 24 through 26. 24. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you would all bow your heads, Brother Rowdy, would you mind saying a prayer? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Addy. Thank y'all for standing for the reading of God's Word. I was praying this morning, God, I want to preach what you want to be preached. I want to speak the words that you want spoken. It doesn't matter if it's what I want to say, but I want to speak the words that you want. If I had a title today, it would be The Difference Maker. The Difference Maker. Sitting back there before church, and I was talking to Brother Chris. He preached. I think it may have been last Sunday night. I was telling him, I said, I really enjoyed what you said, and I got reading the book of Ruth after he said, man, if you ain't read Ruth, you ought to look. I was like, man, I've read it a bunch, but I need to go back again. So I got reading, and I got talking to Brother Chris, and I got thinking about the difference maker. Everybody that's probably here has had someone make a difference in their life. They've had somebody, and you can probably think of the person right now that's made the biggest impact on your life. When I opened up my Bible today to read, I got this. It's just a dollar bill. I don't think we just keep money in Bibles around here. It's a dollar bill. But if anybody's got one of these, they can tell me where this come from. Brother Vic. Brother Vic used to sit back there when he'd come in the church. He'd be sitting back there reading his Bible. Brother Vic made a difference in my life. Talking to him one day, and he was like, you got a dollar? I was like, yeah, sure. Nobody needs a dollar. I mean, it is a dollar. I give it back. He just made a little bow tie out of it. If you can't see it good, that's all it is a little bow tie. It just makes me think of Brother Vic and the difference maker he was. Because he made a positive impact on my life. You see, you can be a difference maker in the wrong way. You can be a difference maker and take somebody down roads they shouldn't go. You can be the difference maker and go the wrong route. But that's not what I'm here today. I'm here today to tell you that you are a difference maker and that you can be a difference maker. And if you're not a difference maker to other people, then why aren't you a difference maker to other people? Why haven't you been somebody that's been a difference maker? And I'll tell you what a lot of people are going to tell you before I get into the Word. Because you see, a lot of people feel that we got to be a significant person held to a certain stature in society before we could be a difference maker. But if you read God's Word, you'll see everywhere that you've been through, He didn't call those type of people. He didn't call the people that society tells us are the best people to be calling. He didn't call the people that only society said would be used. You look at His 12 disciples, who'd He call? He called a tax collector. Everybody hated him. He called a fisherman. They were out fishing. They weren't rich. They weren't held high in society. He called the people that had the willing heart. He did not care what their status or what their stature was. You know what else he didn't care about? Because I've heard people say, well, I can't make a difference with God because of my past. I've got a bad past. Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you today that God don't care about your past. You know what God cares about? God cares about this day forward. He don't care about what you did. It's the devil who cares about your past. Why? Because he knows that's what he can use to continue to keep you chained down. That's what he can use to get you to say you will never be a difference maker. He will get you to say that, God, I can't do this because I used to be a bad person. I used to be the type of person that was the life of the party. I used to be the type of the person that would bring all the negative to the stuff. I would bring the bad stuff to the party. I was that type of person. But you know what? He said, I don't care. I don't care what you used to do. I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't care, or today, what you used to do. I don't care how bad your past was. Because nowhere when I read His Word in John 3:16, that He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, not only if you were worthy enough, not only if you were good enough, not only if you were clean enough, not only if you were holy enough. He said everybody. Everybody. So I don't care about how your past was. You see, we think only significant people can do stuff. In Genesis chapter 37, read to you a couple of scriptures. It says, and Jacob, we'll start on verse 3. It said, now Israel, which we know Israel was Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Why can't I be used? Why can't I be the person that's a difference maker? Maybe because I'm holding on to jealousy and hatred. Maybe there's jealousy that has creeped in over the years, and it has become like a cancer on your heart that has caked around it and it has hardened it. Because God's still trying to speak to you. God's still trying to talk to you. God's still trying to speak through you and use you. But yet you've hardened your heart so hard that you can't even feel it, or can you hear Him. There's a lot of people say, well, I can't hear God. I can't hear God. God doesn't speak to me. Well, how many times do we sit down? Do we take the time? The reason He can't, I give Karen my phone. The reason a lot of times we can't hear Him, because we're too busy on the phone or the TV. We don't have time to sit down. We got time to sit down and do what we want. We have 3 kids. Sometimes of the year, we have a very busy schedule. It seems like every night of the week is something. You don't get home till late. You get up, you go to work, you come home. I could come up with all the excuses of why I don't have time to read my Bible. And He could come up with all the excuses of why He didn't have to carry that cross up that hill for me. But yet He did. But you see, I can be full of excuses, and I can tell Him whatever it is, and I can start trying to let my heart get hardened. I believe jealousy hardened their hearts. If you read in verse 21, it says, and Reuben heard of it, and he delivered him. Let's go up to 18. It says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Now this is Joseph coming to his brothers. So when they saw him, before he ever even got close enough, they could just tell it was him. They had already said, we're going to kill him. They're going to slay him. Imagine the hatred that has to be in your heart to want to kill your brother. And we're not talking about brother and sister in Christ. We're talking about blood brothers. They wanted to kill him. They had let jealousy creep in. They had let hatred come in. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Let's just kill him, throw him into a pit, and we'll see how about his dreams now. Because you remember Joseph had some dreams and said they'd be worshiping him. But hold on now, we're older than you. We got the birthright of this stuff. There ain't no way we're going to be worshiping you. So again, jealousy, anger had set in, and now they wanted to kill him. And 21, and it says, Reuben heard of it, And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Do you ever read anything significant about Reuben in the Word? Personally, I've not did a Bible study and just sat down with Reuben and studied. So what I'm getting at here is Reuben was a normal man. God used Reuben to save Joseph's life. God used Reuben to step in at the time that he needed him to. You see, a lot of times we want to, I don't want to say we want to be the pastor. A lot of times in the flesh we'll want to be in front of everybody. We want everybody to be praising us and thanking us because it makes us feel good. Oh, thank you, brother, because it makes you feel good. But you see, a lot of times what you see God will call is who he needs in the moment. God has a purpose for him like he's got a purpose in your life. So you can be the difference maker to someone else. But if you look at Reuben, God used Reuben to not kill Joseph. But you see, if you read on and you see Joseph's story, you see how God used Joseph. You see how Joseph's life down the road saved his brother's life, saved his family's life. And if they would have killed him, then God would have had to have somebody else. But he didn't. He used this man. Why? Because from the time Joseph was born, God had a purpose and a plan for him. Now, Joseph's life was not easy. Joseph's life was not full of peace. Joseph's life was not full of comfort. Joseph faced stuff time and time and time again, and it seemed like no matter what, the devil was dead set against him. You look through Joseph, you see how he was sold to the merchants. See how he was sold to Potiphar. Joseph started doing good in his life. I'm in God's will. He's blessing me. I know I'm supposed to be where I'm at. It's going good. Then what happens? Potiphar's wife wanted him, and Joseph said no. So much that she had a hold of his coat, and he took off and left it where it was at. So she framed him. So where was he put? In the prison. God, I don't deserve to be in the prison. I'm supposed to be a difference maker. I'm supposed to be a difference maker. You need me up on a pulpit. You need me up on a pedestal. You need me set up somewhere as a CEO of a company because I'm a difference maker. I'm not telling you God can't use you if you're a CEO. God can use anybody. But what I'm telling you is God had a purpose for Joseph in the pits. God has people's lives that needed to be changed in the pits, because if Joseph never would have went into the pit, then Joseph never would have wound up in the palace. Because you see, Joseph had to go into the pit, and then he had to go into the prison. And then he had to dwell in the prison, and he told these guys, he interpreted their dreams, and expected to be released from prison. But 2 more years he spent in the prison because they forgot him. How many people has ever been forgotten? How many people has ever felt like, man, somebody has just forgotten me? They told me they was going to remember me. They told me they was going to be praying for me. They told me they was going to be there for me. But yet I feel like they've forgotten me. For 2 more years, Joseph was forgotten, and he stayed in the prison. Now, did Joseph tell God, that's it, I'm tired of it? If you're not going to put me in the palace, if you're not going to put me where I think I need to be, then I'm not going to serve you anymore. I'm going to quit. Because it's easier to quit. It's easier to give up. Because you see, I've sat back and I've had people tell me, these people over here don't go to church. They don't go to church. They don't worship God. They got more money than I'll ever have. They got bigger house. They got more cars. They got all this stuff, and they never go to church. We're only temporary here, people. We're only temporary. We're only here for a little while. I want to be in the mindset of Joseph. Joseph said, even though I was forgotten in the prison, I still ain't going to quit serving him. Brother Luke had sent me something I'd watched a little bit of. And it was a man talking about Joseph. And he said, everybody sees how Joseph prospered. I serve the Lord and I prosper. I serve the Lord and I prosper. He said, but if you really look into the meaning of Joseph, you'll see that no matter what, he served the Lord. Because see, when you're in the prison and you've been forgotten for 2 years, you don't know in 2 years I'm going to be in the palace. You don't know in 2 years that I'm going to be filthy rich. You don't know in 2 years where you're going to be. So you see, he was the difference maker wherever he went. And if we could get our mindset to be that we're going to be the difference maker no matter where we are, no matter what kind of prison we're in, no matter what kind of chains have us bound, no matter what kind of situation we're facing or we're dealing with, if we can have our mindset that I'm going to be the difference maker here. Yeah, it may be miserable at times. It may hurt. It may be hard. It might be hard to stand up. But I'm going to say, all right, Lord, if I got to serve you and I'm losing everything I got, then I'm still going to hold strong. I'm still going to serve you. Look at Job. Job lost everything. How many times did he give up on him? How many times did he want to give up on him? Not only that, his friends come over and told him to give up on him. A lot of times our friends think they're helping us. They're not being the difference maker we need. When we're in our prison or we're in our chains and we've lost everything we had like Job did. He's sitting there with the boils and the sores that the dogs are licking him. He's the most miserable he could ever be in his life. Now is the time to give up. Just quit, Job. Just quit and go on. But if he quit, he wouldn't have been the difference maker. If he quit, he wouldn't have got blessed back more than what he had. If he quit, but he didn't know that he was going to get that back. That's what I'm trying to get, people. We got to get in the mindset to be the difference maker no matter what we're facing. No matter what kind of financial struggle. No matter what kind of financial struggles we're having, no matter what kind of physical struggles we're having, because it's easy to say, God, if you'll heal me, I'll serve you. If you'll bless me, I'll serve you. God, if you'll give me $100,000 in the bank, then I'll serve you. Well, what good is that? Because anybody can get $100,000 in their bank to serve them. But God, if I'm like the lady that had a little bit of oil and she was going to make her and her son a cake, she was going to die. The prophet didn't come in and say, make me a cake and God will bless you the rest of your life. He said, make me a cake. She said, this is all I got. But I'm going to trust him. You see, she was the difference maker. And because her mind set up to be the difference maker, no matter the circumstance, God blessed her. Now, did it run over? No. What happened? Never ran out. Why? Because she had in her mind set, if I got to make this man my last cake and I'm going to die, me and my son, then we're going to die. They had their mindset. They're going to be a difference maker. It didn't matter the circumstances. It's easy to praise God when we give him circumstances. It's easy to praise God if he's going to do what I want him to do. You know, it's hard to praise God when you don't see an outcome. Karen and I were married. I know I've said it before. We hadn't been married real long. You start living by yourselves, and for some reason these bills come every month. Like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, maybe they'd say, all right, y'all did pretty good for 6 months. Let's give you a break. For some reason, they didn't. They just kept coming. My parents, her parents both would have done anything they could for us, still will. But you take pride, like, we don't ask them for money. We just, and what like we was losing everything. It was like, Lord, I just need you to help me. Need you to help us. Well, God didn't send a check in the mail. He didn't have nobody from the church say, you've been on my heart. Here's your $20,000. He didn't say that. Don't nobody think that that's what we're wanting somebody to do for us. But we did. I prayed and I was like, Lord, you got to help me out. Well, luckily where I work at, we're able to go on call. And if storms come in, we generally work a good bit. And I think I went on call and we worked like 80-something hours overtime along with our 40 regular. So God didn't send somebody to just make all my troubles go away. God let me work. So see, I had to do my part. You see, it's easy to serve a God who's going to cater and do everything for you. But what about the times that I feel like I've been in the prison and I've been forgotten for 2 years? What about the times where I've been like Job and I've lost everything? What about the times where I feel like, God, where are you at? I need you. Bad. You see, you never really know how much you trust the Lord until you hit rock bottom and you got to start trusting the Lord. Because as long as I can see a way out, Like, as long as I can see, well, I can work overtime, so I'm good, Lord. You really don't gotta help me out here. I got all this. In the back of my mind, I got a way out. But when it says to where, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's when we start seeing how much we're going to serve Him. That's where we start seeing how much we're going to praise Him. And regardless of the blessings He sends my way, I still want to be sitting and praising Him. If I get sick and I stay sick and I can't be healed like the lady with the issue of blood, she spent all she had. She went forever without it. But guess what? She had a mindset that she was going to praise Him. She had a mindset that she wasn't going to give up. She had a mindset that she was going to be a difference maker. And she knew if she could just touch the hem of His garment. Now, to go touch the hem of His garment wasn't something that was very easy, I don't believe. Because it said He had crowds everywhere He went. And if you got an issue of blood, you're already struggling. One thing I know is if you lose a lot of blood, you're weak. You don't have the strength to come in, push people down, knock people down. So for her to make it up in her head and say, God, I don't care. I'm going to praise You, I'm going to serve You, and I'm going to touch the hem of that garment. She had to push through, and when she did, she was immediately healed. But what if she wouldn't have been healed? I believe her mindset was made up that she was still going to praise Him. Because you see, you watch a lot of the stuff where Christ moved in people's lives and healed. And He said, it's your faith that made you whole. He didn't say, it's His faith that made me whole. It's like He told her, it's your faith that made you whole. Why? Because her mindset, she was a difference maker. She was not someone that was going to quit or someone that was going to give up. A lot of times we let jealousy, we let shame ruin our lives. We let how we live our lives ruin our lives, if that makes sense to you, the way we live. Because you see, it's easy to live for God on Sunday. It's easy to live for God on a Wednesday night when you come to church. But what about the rest of the time when we're out there in the world? That's when it starts hitting and starts chipping and starts tearing, because that's when the devil starts seeing that he's going to wear you down. He's going to beat you down. It may not happen all at once. I told you last time I preached that my dad used to always tell me when I was younger, all worrying does is cause you health problems. And the older you get and the more you see, I actually have a friend that he said he woke up one day and he was so stressed and worried, he didn't know what to do. It almost ruined his life. He was miserable at work. He was miserable at home. He said, I had no clue what happened. I had no clue. I just woke up one morning and he said it was like a ton of bricks that just hit and I could not shake it. I could not get rid of it. Thankfully, he was a Christian. Thankfully, he already knew the Lord. So he knew where he needed to turn and where he needed to go to. But he said it was like out of the blue one day. He just woke up. And he said that weight was on me and I couldn't get it off. So he had to make a mindset that was he going to be the difference maker? Or was he just going to let it overcome him and destroy who he is or who he was? Thankfully, he continues to grow in Christ every single day and to seek the Lord, and God has made a difference in his life, and God's continued to use him to be a difference maker. If you look at the book of Ruth, you see Naomi and Ruth. Ruth married Naomi's son. Make sure I get this right as I'm trying to get it out without reading it all. He died. Naomi's husband died. Ruth's husband died. If you look in verse 16, it says, and Ruth said, actually, Naomi has told her and the other daughter-in-law, y'all need to leave. Just go back where you come from. Y'all are still young enough. You can get husbands, have children. Just go away. I'm going to talk to you about her difference maker with Ruth. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She made her mindset up that she was going to be a difference maker. Probably would have been easier for her to go back to her family, to go back and find a husband, but she said no. She held with her mother-in-law. You see, the mother-in-law every day could have woke up and seen, and that reminded her of her husband, and therefore she didn't want to be with her, but she didn't. It's amazing to see how Ruth stuck with Naomi, even though everything looked bad, even though she had lost all the men in the house, she had lost. But because she stuck with her, God had moved, and God delivered, and God made a way, because she was going to be the difference maker. I got one more difference maker I want to read to you about. It's in Acts. Anybody that says that their past is too bad, that what they've done is too wrong, I love reading to them about Saul. In chapter 9, I'll read to you verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." One thing, if you read about Saul, you'll see that he thought what he was doing was right, but what he was really doing was killing the Christians. He said his word would put him in prison, and his word would put him to death. You see, we say that our past is so bad that God can't use us. The jealousy that we have is so bad that God can't use us. The shame that I feel is so bad that God can't use me. What I want to tell you today, if you read down to verse 15, if you've not ever read the conversion of Saul, read chapter 9. Now, I'm not going to read it all to you today. But he was on his way to get more Christians, put them in prison or to kill them. And a great light shone around about him, and God spoke to him. Jesus said, "Pretty much I'm going to put it in my terms." Not like, "What are you doing, man?" He's like, "Who are you?" You see, Saul thought he had everything because he thought everything he was doing was perfect in his life. He was doing what the Old Testament said to do. He was living what he thought he knew, because you see, if you read about Saul, you'll learn that Saul was very intelligent. He was smart. He could speak to the lawyers. He could speak to the kings. He could speak to the poorest person there. But if you look at his life, you'll see that all he was doing was destruction, even though he thought he was good. There's been times in my life where I thought I was doing good. There's been times in my life that I thought the path I was taking was where God wanted me. I thought that this is what God wants me to do. But I forgot all along to pray and to seek God of what He really wanted in my life. Because a lot of the time it was more what I wanted in my life, Brother Rowdy. Because what I wanted was more important than what God wanted at the time. Because you see, I don't have time to wait on God. Because I want Him to give me what I want Him to give me yesterday. I mean, a lot of times like, "All right, Lord, you know, you're a little late with this blessing, so let's hurry up and see if we can't get it through." Because you see, we've got loved ones that hadn't been saved for years. We've got loved ones we've been praying for that's been lost, that were raised in church, but that are still lost for years. So God's a little slack in His timing. Because I tell myself, "Well, God, you just ain't going to do it when I think you should, so I'm going to help you out." I think if God could, which I know He could, I think if sometimes He just want to reach down to me and just slap me in the back of the head. I think sometimes He just wants to say, "Would you sit back and listen to what you're telling me?" And I don't know how y'all are with God, but sometimes I do. I just sit and I talk with Him. And I've said and I cried, "God, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten that I've been praying to you? Have you been forgotten that we teach children's church? You've been forgotten that I've been the teenagers? Have you been forgotten what I've done for you?" And a lot of times that's followed up with shame and guilt, because I get feeling like He's telling me, "What, have you forgotten what I've done for you, son? Have you been forgotten the blessings that you have in your life, your health, your family, your children, their health?" There's a lot of people that don't have that. So a lot of times before I get on my little road and I start telling them what I think, it ain't just a second, I get humbled back into perspective. Because you see, I want to be like Saul. I want to go out and do what I think I feel is right, Lord. And I forgot to sit the whole time and ask Him, "God, what is Your will?" I want to be the difference maker, but I want to be the difference maker that God wants me to be. Not necessarily what Brother Rowdy wants me to be, or Brother Eddie wants me to be, or Brother Jim wants me to be, or even what Karen wants me to be. I want to be the difference maker that God wants me to be. And to be this difference maker that God wants me to be, I'm going to have to go through some trials and some troubles. Got a friend at work. His wife started going through some kidney problems. Escalated. It just kept going. She wound up losing both of her kidneys, and her daughter was a match and give her a kidney. He said, and we've prayed with him, and I've tried to encourage him. And you know how it is when people's going through stuff. Oh, don't worry, God's with you. I'm praying for you. First of all, let me tell you something. If I'm praying for you, I know I'm not much. I know I'm not. I'll probably never be much, and I'm okay with that. But if I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. I ain't got much, but I got faith. And if I'm praying for you, and I tell you I'm praying for you, we're expecting stuff to happen. Because of faith, the grain of a mustard seed can move a mountain. With the doubt of a mustard seed, that mountain will stay right where it's at. So I don't want the doubt. I want it to be gone. Because if I'm going to be a difference maker, it's going to be the difference maker that God wants me to be. So I've prayed with him. I've put my arm around him. I've told him. I've hugged him. I've cried with him. It's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. He said when he was sitting there looking, and they go to church. And he said when he was sitting there looking, he said, I got a wife on one side and a daughter on the other, and they're about to take them both back for surgery. He had no hope. There was nothing he could do. He said, I could lose them both. I could lose one. I don't know what's going to happen. So that's when you figure out who you trust in. That's when you figure out, all right, Lord, here's where the rubber meets the road. We're going to quit playing about what I want, and we're going to start praying, and we're going to start fasting, and we're going to start seeking your will and seeking about what you want. Because you see, at that moment in his flesh, there was nothing he could possibly do. He said, I had a wife going one way and a kid going another way, and there's nothing I could do but sit there and pray and stress and worry. But thank God that he knows the King of Kings. Thank God that he knows the man that was with them both. Because you see, even though he couldn't go with them, even though he couldn't go into both of those operating rooms, he knew who could. He knew that there was a God. He knew that there was a church that was praying for him because we put him on the prayer list. He knew that there was brothers that were praying for him. Why? Because we got to be the difference maker. I tell our guys at work, be a positive influence. It takes 20 positive people to knock down one negative person. Be a positive influence. Be the difference maker. Every day, wake up and tell yourself, I'm going to be the difference maker that God wants me to be. No, today's not always going to go easy. No, today's not always going to be rosy. There's going to be days where you struggle. There's going to be days where you hurt. There's going to be days that you want to lay down on this floor and curl up in a ball and cry. And I don't want to tell people that God is going to be with them because I'm hurting and I'm struggling for myself. But if in those days that you can find the strength to get up, if it's those days that you're hurting so bad, that you're struggling so bad, that you can go to somebody else and tell them God is going to heal. They don't got to know all your problems. They don't need to know all your problems because God already knows them. He says, I hear you. I told y'all last time I preached, Brother Chris come down here. We was at the altar. And I was praying and I'd been struggling and praying. And Brother Chris come down and it wasn't a 45-minute speech he gave me. It wasn't a 30-minute lecture after church that he gives me. All he said was, God has not forgotten you. And it broke inside me. Because I felt like he had. I felt like he had left me. I felt like I am struggling, Lord. Where are you? And the whole time, I said, I've got you in my hand, son. You've seen the footprints in the sand. When there was one set, why, Lord? Because those were the times I was carrying you. And that time, I was struggling. He was carrying me. I didn't feel like much of a difference maker. But I had to tell myself, no matter what, I have got to continue to be that person. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm somebody special. I'm not trying to tell you that I am a good difference maker because I'm not. As Paul said in the Word, I'm probably the chief of the sinners. I'm probably the worst one to be telling people about God. But I've made it up in my mind where I don't care because I'm still going to tell them. Because God has got a purpose. If you read down in verse 15, God told, I got away from the story of Saul. God told Ananias, Ananias, go pray for Saul. When God let the light shine around him, when he come up, he was blind. His men led him into town. God told Ananias, remember what Saul was sent for, imprisoned Christians. God told Ananias, which was a Christian, go pray for him. Ananias was like, hold on, Lord. You sure you want me to do this? God said, yeah. Go pray for him. Are you really sure, Lord? How many times have we been that person? I tell Brother Addy, Brother Addy, you got to have faith, brother. And then the Lord tells me something like, hold on, Lord, you need to make sure we're on the same page here. Yeah, I want you to go pray for him. Well, you're going to have to tell somebody from the back to come get me to tell me to tell him, go pray for him. I mean, we start giving God all these little runarounds here. Why? Because it's easy for me to tell Brother Addy to have, or Brother Rowdy to have faith. But for me, myself. So Ananias said, Lord, this man's been sent here to kill Christians. So in verse 15, and I know I've probably read this 1,000 times, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God had a purpose for Saul's life. In verse 16, I'm going to read to you something that just really hit me a while back. It didn't say he's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him nothing but pleasure. In no way does the word say that. It says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. If you read, you'll see that Saul changed his life. They started calling him Paul, and he wrote probably, I think, either a third or two-thirds of the New Testament. You see what all God done in his life. Why? Why could he tell people? Why could he be the difference maker? Because he can tell you the road he was on. You see, a lot of people say, well, my past keeps me from serving God. God will tell you your past will help you touch more people than you know. You see, he doesn't let that compromise you. He doesn't let that pull you down. He doesn't let your past control who you are. He guides your past and lets it be a greater testimony. Brother Keith Hembry, probably one of the most open people I have ever seen about his past and drug addiction and rehabilitation and stuff like that. Been the most open person I've ever met in my life about it. And Keith will tell you that him going through that, there's lives he can touch that I'll never be able to. And I don't want to go through that, but I pray I don't. But Brother Keith went through that, and he said there's lives that he's been able to open a ministry, to be able to reach out, to talk to people, to help people. And I've heard Ben before in his ministry, and I've heard him talk to people, and like, that guy would punch me in the face if I just told him that. But Brother Keith said, I don't care, because I've been where you've been. I've walked those shoes you're walking in. And you know what? You ain't nothing but full of excuses. It's time we get up. It's time we put our feet where they're supposed to be, and we start making the commitments we need to make. I've watched Brother Keith do that. I've watched God continue to bless his life. So today, it wasn't a long, drawn-out message, but all I could think of was the difference maker. There's difference makers all through the Bible. You can read of Moses. You can read of Abraham. You can read of Job. You can read all through the Bible, and there's difference makers. Samson, they're everywhere. Take time and read and look at these difference makers, but think of the person that was a difference maker in your life. Mama Kate was a difference maker in people's lives. I don't call her Mary Kate. I call her Mama Kate because years ago that's what she told me I could do. So I did. But she was a difference maker. Papa Charlie was a difference maker. We look at these saints that have passed away and went on, and the difference they made in our lives, the impact they had in our lives. So it makes me think, what kind of impact would I leave if I left today? Something happened to me in our past. What kind of impact would I have on people's lives? I want people to say, that Brother Tony, he really touched my life. He helped me get my life back on the right track. And I don't know that there's anybody that can say that. And I don't have a clue. But I hope and pray that there is. Everybody will stand. I'm sorry. You bow your head and close your eyes. I won't draw this out long. But if there's anybody here who needs prayer, if there's anybody here that wants to be a different maker, if there's anybody here who's going to say, today's going to be the day I set my mindset and I'm not going to change no matter what I face, no matter what kind of trials I go through, no matter what the devil throws my way, I'm going to be that difference maker. The days I'm hurting, the days I'm struggling, the days I'm worried, I'm still going to trust in Him because He has never failed me. If there's anybody that wants prayer, come down today and we'll pray with you. You got a church that'll stand behind you. As I said earlier, when we pray, we're praying expecting changes. I know God has been so good in my life, and I thank Him for His blessings. If there's not anybody that wants to come down and pray,
there came a woman to a well one day, her life so empty and bare. She came just like any other day. She met Jesus there. He told her of her sinful past and changed it all around. Could hear this woman say as she passed through the town, come see
a man who told me all the wrong I've done. Is not this the Christ, the blessed Holy One?
I went for water,
but the water He gave me
made me new again and set my spirit free. Now there's a well today, and Jesus stands there by. He's offering you this water too. It gives eternal life. No more sleepless nights, no lonely days, no reason to be blue. And like this woman so long ago, you'll be saved to come see
a man who told me all the wrong I've done. Is not this the Christ, the blessed Holy One?
I went for water,
but the water He gave me
cost us a penny. Thank y'all for the opportunity to be able to bring forth your word this morning. I appreciate it.
Eddie wanted me to tell y'all he really appreciates all the prayers and the love. He feels it all and during Kate's sickness, and we appreciate everything y'all have done for us, but please keep the family in your prayers, which I know you will. And I wanted to tell y'all the arrangements. The visitation, she will be at Hoyt Thomas Funeral Home, which is close to Villarica High School. And visitation will be Tuesday from 6 to 8. And then Wednesday, visitation is 10 to 10:45. The funeral will be at 11 here at the church. And we will, well, you're going to know. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Also, to go along with those announcements, they just told me we will not have service Wednesday night. Give everybody time, you know, that the family and also all the festivities and all that going on with the funeral, dear Lord, we just have this. So, okay. And again, I just heard another one. And no choir practice this evening or choir tonight. Thank you. Praise God. We will have service. I want to invite you all to service tonight. Did I see a hand? Yes, Sister Linda. Month's going fast already. Valentine's Day is being talked about too. But y'all heard the ladies, if you heard that, it's going to be moved to the first Tuesday because of Valentine's Day being the next week, just for that 1 month. So praise God. All hearts and minds clear. So as we go back to the, we will have service tonight. Please come and join us. Being much prayers, but there's so many prayer requests going forward. But, and I'm going to say this too, is and I just know this is a praying church. And I know there's a lot of faith I'm looking at right here, even those watching online that aren't able to be physically with us here this morning. But as we pray in faith for all the prayer requests, but also for the family as we go through this, and they've always, you know, God is always powerful and He can carry us through. And that's what we need right now, is just that comfort that God can give us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we love you. We praise your holy name, dear Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your word, for the message that was brought forth to us this morning, this dear Lord. We thank you for the timing, dear Lord, that you had it. Lord, may we be that difference maker, dear Lord. May we be those vessels that you can use, whether it be to just to clear the field, to plant the seed, to harvest, whatever direction you would have us to go, dear Lord. May we be those willing vessels that you can use. Lord, again, thank you for each and every one that was in here with us this morning. For those watching online, dear Lord, we thank you for answering prayers. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart now, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. In the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ, we all say, amen, amen. Thank you all. Thank you. Praise God.